Epilogue. 1 month later. Marguerite smiled up at Ren as they stood in the small yard behind their new house in the Garden District. The air was a bit warm and muggy, which was why she'd chosen to get married in a very sedate, strapless, tea-length wedding dress. She had her hair up with tiny white flowers in it, but no veil. Ren looked gorgeous, if not a little warm, in his black tie and tails. For the first time, his hair wasn't worn in his eyes. He'd actually brushed it back from his face. "I'm going into this with my eyes wide open, and I want nothing to blur my vision." Those words that he'd spoken earlier still warmed her. Their wedding party was small, with only Elise, Whitney, Tammy, Vane, Bride, who held her infant son, Fury, Fang, Aristotle, and of course Marvin, who was dressed in a small monkey tuxedo since he was the best man. Marguerite's father had been invited, but apparently he'd been too busy to come, and that was fine with her. She didn't want anything to mar this day anyway. Better he be absent than here and scowling. Ren kissed her ring finger where her sedate gold band was before he kissed her lips, as the priest announced them as husband and wife. A part of her was more than amused at that, since they were more tiger and tiger swan these days, but that was another story. As soon as Ren released her, her friends came forward to hug and congratulate her. Marguerite embraced them while she listened to the wolves harass Ren.
"Now you're like Vane, tied down for eternity," Fury said with a shudder. "Man, you're stupid. Unlike Vane, you don't even have a reason for it."
"You better be quiet, Fury," Vane said, laughing, "or I'll turn Bride loose on you."
"Yeah,"
Bride agreed as she handed her son off to his father.
"I know a little demon who likes the taste of wolf meat."
They all laughed, except for Elise, Tammy, and Whitney, who just looked confused. When they adjourned inside the house for the reception, Marguerite pulled up short as they met Savitar in the hallway. Arching his brow, Vane paused to stare at the man who was dressed in a pair of white, slouchy pants and a blue and white beach shirt that was left hanging open to show off his 8-pack of abs.
"Do you ever wear anything except beach clothes?"
Savitar shrugged.
"Everything else chafes. Besides, easy on, easy off."
Marguerite wrinkled her nose at his words.
"Ew. TMI, way too much information."
"Agreed," Ren said as Vane shook his head and followed the others into their dining room. Once they were alone, Ren frowned at Savitar.
"So, to what do we owe the honor?"
Savitar gave them a cocky half-grin.
"I'm sorry to crash your wedding, but I won't be long."
"You don't have to rush off on our account," Maggie said quickly.
Ren agreed.
"We have plenty of food if you'd like to stay."
"We would have invited you, but I didn't think weddings were your scene."
"They're not," he said dryly.
"But I wanted to give the two of you a gift from a friend."
Ren's frown increased.
"You don't have to do that."
"I know, but I want to do it."
Without anything more, Savitar joined Ren's left hand with her right one and held them in his. Gasping, Marguerite felt a sudden burning. She withdrew her hand to find a small, intricate, tattoo-like mark on her palm.
"What the?"
"It's a mating mark,"
Ren said in a low tone, as he looked from his hand to Savitar.
"I don't understand. Is this real?"
Savitar nodded.
"I don't trust the fates. Those three bitches have a nasty sense of humor, and the last thing I want is to see them mate you to someone else just for spite. Besides, I'm sure the two of you would like to have kids someday."
A deep sadness entered his eyes, but it quickly passed.
"Everyone should have a chance to see their kids grow up."
Ren looked aghast.
"But you can't screw with fate."
Savitar gave him a wicked grin.
"You can't, little tiger. But I do what I please. Fates be damned. If they want a piece of me, then bring it on. I couldn't care less what they think, and at the end of the day, they know who not to tangle with."
He winked at them. You two kids have a great life. I'm gonna go catch a wave and zen. Marguerite's jaw was slack as Savitar faded into nothing. She rubbed the mark on her right hand with her left one. Is this legit? Ren took her hand into his. I think it is. Then we can have children. Wagging his eyebrows at her, he gave her a smile that was completely lecherous. Seductive. There's only one way to know. I vote we ditch the wedding party and find out. She laughed at the eager look on his face. You are so bad. He growled low in his throat as he gave her a hot once-over. I can't help it. You look way too edible in that dress. Ren pulled back at the sound of someone clearing his throat. Marguerite blushed to see his father standing in the doorway. Aristotle shook his head at them. Some of us in here are also hungry. So do you mind if we eat the food without you? Ren visibly cringed. Sorry, Dad. We're coming. His father gave him an arched stare as if he didn't believe it. As they started into the dining room, they were interrupted yet again by the doorbell. Ren and Marguerite exchanged a frown. It's not anyone on my side, Ren said. We don't knock. She rolled her eyes at him. It's probably UPS. I vote we add the delivery man who dared to interrupt us to the menu. Ren laughed. I don't know, I think your friends would be grossed out. He headed for the door. She watched as he opened it, then went ramrod stiff. Scowling at his actions and curious what caused them, she walked forward at the same time as he opened the door wider. Marguerite faltered as she saw her father on the doorstep, looking a bit sheepish. Ren moved back to let him into the house. A flash of relief went over her father's face as he saw her, until it was replaced by disappointment and grief. I'm sorry I'm late, Buttercup, he said gruffly. I really did try to make it, but there was an all-night session in Congress, and the weather was so bad that the flight was delayed. I got here as soon as I could. Marguerite didn't know what stunned her most. His apology, or the use of a nickname she hadn't heard from his lips since she was a little girl. It's okay, Daddy. No, it isn't. He cleared his throat before he pulled a small box out of his coat pocket. I started to send this to you, but I thought I'd come here to give it to you in person. He handed her the box. Marguerite frowned at it. It was an old 1950s-style light blue necklace box. What is it? Your grandmother's pearls. Your mother wore them at our wedding, and she wanted you to have them for yours. Tears welled up in her eyes. It had been years since her father had spoken of her mother in such a way. Ren came up behind her to place a comforting hand on her back as she opened the box and saw the perfect strand of white pearls and matching earrings. They're beautiful. Her father inclined his head. Like your mother. And like you. Her lips trembled as her tears started falling. And then Marguerite did something she hadn't done since her mother's death. She hugged her father. For the first time in her memory, he didn't tense and move away. He wrapped his arms around her and held her close. I love you, Daddy, she whispered against his cheek. I love you too, Marguerite. He tightened his arms around her an instant before he straightened up and wiped the tears on her face. His smile was tinged by sadness. I'm sorry I wasn't here to give you away. I should have at least called. It's okay. Ren took the pearls from the box. As he moved to put them on her, her father stopped him. You have the rest of your life to help her with these. If you don't mind. I'd like to do it just this once. Sure, Ren said as he handed them over. Marguerite gave a less than ladylike sniff as she met Ren's turquoise eyes. The love in his gaze warmed her. Her father fastened the pearls, then moved to stand in front of Ren. I know I've been a prick to you both, but I'm a big enough man to admit when I've been wrong. He glanced at her. You are my daughter, Marguerite, and if he makes you happy, then that's the best I can ask for. I've given a lot of thought about what you said over the last few weeks, and I do want to be a part of your life. If you'll let me. Of course, Daddy,
No matter what, you'll always be my father.
His eyes softened until he looked back at Ren. Shall we bury the hatchet? No more hard feelings?
Marguerite held her breath as she waited expectantly for Ren's response. He hesitated a moment before he took her father's hand and shook it.
None whatsoever, so long as you only make her cry in happiness.
Her father placed his other hand over Ren's.
Don't worry. I have no intention of ever hurting her.
Yet again they heard someone clear his throat. Marguerite turned to see Aristotle standing once more in the doorway.
Are we ever going to eat? He asked.
Marguerite laughed. We are definitely going to eat, she said, before she introduced her father to Renz. And as the four of them rejoined the rest of the dinner party, she felt a warm rush go through her.
You okay?
Ren asked as he took her hand to lead her to the table.
I was just thinking that I wish my mother was here.
I'm sure she's looking down on you and smiling.
Marguerite kissed his cheek. In a weird way, she felt that he was right. And in that moment, she realized that this day really was perfect. And she had one person to thank for it, and it was the one person she intended to spend the rest of her life thanking. She squeezed that person's hand before she took a seat with his help, and he sat down by her side. As they started their meal, Marguerite smiled at Ren. There might not be another perfect day in their future, but they had this one, and as long as she had Ren beside her, she knew that no matter what the future held, they would always face it like this. Together. Savitar forced a blank expression on his face as he neared the lone figure who was sitting on his beach, watching the surf roll in. Dressed in a tacky Hawaiian shirt and a pair of surfer shorts, the dark-haired man was leaning back on his arms with his attention off somewhere else entirely. He knew that faraway look. It was the one he wore a lot himself, and it was why the beach was the only thing that offered him any kind of comfort. The ocean, like time, was endless and ever-changing, vast, empty, overwhelming. Folding his arms over his chest, he neared the man on the beach. I delivered your present to them. Nick Gautier looked up at him then. From Nick's face, Savitar could tell it took a few seconds for those words to register. Thanks for the favor, Savitar. No problem. They're good kids. Nick nodded as a sad smile hovered at the edges of his lips. I would never have thought Maggie had it in her to fight for her future. Ren either, for that matter. It's good to see your friends happy, isn't it?
Savitar snorted. How would I know? I have no friends. People basically suck, and all friends will screw you over in the end. Take my word for it.
Then why am I here?
Hell if I know.
But that wasn't the truth. Nick was here because Acheron had asked it of him, and Acheron was one of the very few beings Savitar would never deny.
Tell me something, Sav.
Will they live happily ever after? Don't worry. Raise lots of little tigers and think of you from time to time. Hell, they'll even name their firstborn after you. Of course it'll be a girl, but little Nikki won't mind her name. She'll think it's cool.
Nick nodded. But even so, Savitar could feel his pain. Nick hadn't wanted to die, and his death had screwed him over in more ways than one. But life and death went on. He knew that better than anyone.
Come on, kid, he said, inclining his head toward the waves. Surf's up.
Nick rolled his eyes at him.
Are you ever going to train me as a dark hunter?
Yes. But right now I've got bigger things on my mind. A 20-footer is heading to shore, and I want a piece of it.
Nick sighed as he pushed himself up. Savitar was already dressed in his wetsuit as he waded his way into the water. A surfboard appeared alongside him. He was grateful Savitar had taken him in, since right now he couldn't face Acheron with wanting to kill the bastard for what had happened the night Nick died.
but honestly, he was getting tired of sitting on his ass, waiting for his training to begin. His old life was over. He knew that. There was no way to go back to what he'd known. No way back to New Orleans. Now, like Ren and Maggie, it was time for a new chapter to begin in his life. And he could feel it coming, just like the wave that was cresting. We hope you've enjoyed Unleash the Night, a Macmillan audio production from St. Martin's Press. Text copyright 2006 by Sherilyn Kenyon. Production copyright 2010 by Macmillan Audio. All rights reserved.